Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Grace be unto you and peace, grace and peace. This salutation is found in 17 New Testament books. And it's always in that order, always. Grace and peace, you'll find it in Paul's writings, and mainly Paul's writings, some other writings, grace and peace. And always in that order, grace comes first and then peace. And by the way, that's how it comes in our life. You cannot have peace until you have God's grace. When you get God's grace, then you experience the peace of God, and then you can experience peace from God. Hope you get that. So these salutations, it's in that order always, and grace and peace. You must experience God's grace to have God's peace. And then notice, from him which is and which was and which is to come. John is speaking of the eternal nature of God. God always has been. He's the timeless one. He rules the past, he rules the present, and he rules the future. I had something marked. Let me read this. I wrote this in my Bible years ago, and the writing's about faded. The ink's about blotted, you know, over the years. But I wrote this. God is eternal. He antedates time and is wholly independent of it. Time began in him, and time will end in him. To it, he pays no tribute, and from it, he suffers no change. That's God. God is immutable. He's never changed. And God can never change, even in the smallest measure. To change, he would need to go from better to worse or from worse to better. And he cannot do either. For being perfect, he cannot become more perfect. And if he was less perfect, he would be less God. Hope y'all get that. I wrote this down. You know, once in a while, I'll get some good thoughts. And I have to write them down somewhere, you know. And then we're talking about God is omniscient. He knows in one free and effortless act all matters of relationships. He has no past and he has no future. As far as he's the eternal one. And that's what he's talking about here, John, which was, and is to come. Speaking of God. Now I want you to notice he's going to have mentioned the triunity of the Godhead here. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned in these two verses. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, that's an interesting seven spirits. Well, it speaks to the fullness and to the completion of the Holy Spirit. There are not seven Holy Spirits. There's one. But what he's talking about is the seven spirits. I marked this down. I wanted to read this to you. In Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 2, describes seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. Seven of them, and it's mentioned here in Isaiah 11, 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Seven attributes of the Spirit of God. So that, I believe that's what he's talking about. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, literally, he has these characteristics, and he has them all in the fullness and completion of the Godhead. Again, let me mention one more thing, and we'll move on. Again, I'm a King James Bible man through and through. There are no mistakes in your Bible. If you have a King James Bible, there are no mistakes. Amen, preacher. Okay? Kind of a little burr every once in a while when I hear somebody says, I believe King James Bible, and it says this, but it could be better rendered that. You ever heard that, Michael? You probably, yeah. I mean, it's something said, and then some big-wig preacher who's had a little bit of Greek or Hebrew, he said, it says this, but it should be rendered this. In other words, it wasn't right, okay? I'm here to tell you the Word of God is perfect. There are no mistakes in our Bible, none. So people criticize when it talks about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. I think I mentioned this, but we got some new folk in here. I want to share this with you, okay? Why sometimes does it say Holy Ghost and why sometimes does it say Holy Spirit? Well, some of the people who could critique Scripture will say that's because the translators, they couldn't make their mind up or whatever. They'll give some reason why they use Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. No, I know there is a reason that they used Holy Ghost and it wasn't mistranslated. Every time, now check this out, it's true. The word, when it's used, the Holy Ghost, it refers to him by name. That's his name. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you see the Holy Ghost mentioned, it refers to that Godhead of his name, that proper name. Okay? When it speaks of the Holy Spirit, it refers to his work. The work, the fruit of the Spirit is this. The works of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, every time it speaks of the work. And sometimes they're used in the same passage. We've looked at that over the past weeks or a few weeks where it says Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit in the same passage of Scripture. Why? That's his proper name, the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Spirit, that's his work. Are y'all following? Hope that makes good sense to you. I'm trying to tell you, there are no mistakes in God's Word. None. You can count on this Bible through and through. So you see that the seven spirits, which are before his throne, that's the Holy Spirit. And then from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. I just love this. Again, you see the triunity of the Godhead. John wrote down the Father, the Spirit, and then Jesus Christ. Well, when it talks about Jesus as a faithful witness, the word witness is that Greek word martis. We get the English word martyr from it. Now, Jesus was not a martyr. He wasn't a martyr. However, he was faithful unto death. That's what that word means, like how many people who are martyred, they're faithful unto death. They will still name the name of Christ, not deny him, even unto death. Well, that's why Jesus, the faithful witness, the word witnesses, we get the English word martyr from that. Well, Jesus was the reliable prophet in that faithful unto death, that faithful witness. Also, he's the first begotten of the dead. Now, that throws some people for a loop. What do you mean the first begotten of the dead? Jesus Christ was not the first who was resurrected from the dead, because remember, you ever heard of a guy named Lazarus? Even the Old Testament, there were people that was resurrected from the dead. You know, was that Elijah or Elisha? Elijah, wasn't it? Over the widow's boy, you know, he prayed over that. Was that Elisha? I get them. Elijah? I'll really make y'all think now. I'm not sure. No, look it up. Doug's back there looking now, real quick. Anyway, I'm thinking I'll stand corrected anyway. It may be, who? I don't know. We're going to find out in just a minute. But you get the point that someone was resurrected. What this is talking about the first begotten of the dead, it literally talks about the resurrected one. He was the first of that order that received a glorified body. Okay? Jesus was the first who ever received a glorified body. All the others that had died, that had been resurrected, well, Lazarus died again, or following, and these others, and all, but we're talking about the first begotten of the dead. Literally, he was the first one to receive a glorified body, the first of that order. So much could be said here, but he actually, in there, you could see, there's so much here, that Jesus Christ was prophet, priest, and king. And we see that order here before us. He was the faithful witness. He was the prophet, the reliable one. He was the priest. Today, he's the resurrected one. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. For us, aren't you glad? We have direct access to Jesus Christ. I picked on the Catholic Church a little bit earlier, and I'm nothing against the people, but Catholicism is damning. And I'm so grateful I don't have to sit and look at a knothead through a knot hole. You know, I can go, I have direct access to the Father through the Son Jesus Christ. He's our priest.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.